are listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada.
Idol worship. At some point, they begin to suffer. They're being oppressed. They cry out to God. God sends them a judge. He sends a Deborah, or he sends a Samson, or he sends a Gideon. And then they follow God for a while, and then they get distracted and head off in another direction. And that's the story of Israel up into the book of Matthew. So for us, by the time we get to the period of the kings, the whole idea, and this is 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, the whole idea of passing it on was something that was to be ingrained in the life and heart of the people. And for us, if we can make rehearsing God's goodness a part of our own families, we will see a legacy passed down generation to generation. When I was 20, I didn't care about a legacy and I didn't care about multiple generations because it was just us. It was me and my wife. And I was good with that. And then a couple years later, we talked about having a kid. And literally, after the conversation, she comes back within 4 weeks and says, I'm pregnant. It's like, we just talked about this. I'm supposed to prepare. And at some point, there came this click in my head of, oh, so what I'm doing may have an effect on the rest of my family. Huh. I always think, well, what are the things I don't want to do? What don't I want to pass down to my kids? No, sorry, guys, I did pass some of those down. But there's a lot of things I didn't want. But then to think on the other side, what are the things I want to pass down? What are the stories in my life where God intersected my life and put me in a situation where I got to see he really is who he says he is? And so we'll touch on those, a couple of those in a bit, but I want to look at Psalms. In the book of Psalms, King David rehearses over and over and challenges Israel as they're singing these songs. Make this a part of who you are and what you do, that you would pass on what God has done to the next generation. Don't die before you do this. Our relationship with God and our posterity depends on it. Psalm 71. I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me and still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to my old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? To Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them. The children yet unborn and arise to tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. The power of testimony is incredible. Anybody ever watch an infomercial? You can be told, okay, the entire time they're going to try and sell you something that doesn't work. Okay? And then you sit down and you watch it saying, I'm not going to buy anything. I'm just watching this. And by the 10 minutes in, you're like, I got to get my card because I need this. You know, Ron Popeil and his turkey baster, or the, you can cook anything, even, and they show all the people who are so inept when it comes to cooking. You know, they close their eyes and they give them, you know, big knives and they put them into the kitchen and say, and this is you trying to cut pepper, you know, there's blood flying everywhere. It's like, no, now, if you just had this special pepper cutter, you can cut peppers like the best cooks in the world, best chefs in the world. And they show the inept person now with this pepper cutter. And they can cut the peppers, and it looks so perfect, and you see, every time. And they've got like 75 bags of peppers that they've cut, you know, for their dinner that they're having with their three kids and spouse. And it's like, we have so many peppers. And we want to buy it. Why? Part of it is we hear what other people are saying. I say, this could be me. This could work. I think The two main stations I listen to on the radio are a combination. Actually, there's four, but there's a combination of Fox Sports, ESPN Radio, and a couple of country stations. If I ever would have thought, you know, 16-year-old Louis, who was totally into the New Wave and Depeche Mode, New Order, Joy Division, Tears for Fears, you know, that's my music. I listen to country now. I think 16-year-old me would be really disappointed, but I don't know. Anyway, the most common commercial that shows up on the sports channels is the Andro 400. Guys, do you struggle losing belly fat? And every guy's, yeah. It's like, well, if you just take this pill, it'll just melt off of you. And then you hear, yeah, my name's Tyrone. I'm from so-and-so. And, you know, I was this much. I weighed this much. I had this big of a waist. I started taking these pills. And now I'm down to 165 pounds, 167 pounds. Look like I did when I was in high school. It's like, wow, I could be like Tyrone. And somebody else from on the other. This is Steve, a very sophisticated Steve. And I was really wrestling, done everything. I even tried exercising. That didn't work. So I decided to try this pill. Another guy comes on and he says, you know, I was really skeptical and I tried so many other magic, you know, these pills to take. And I ended up going with Andro 400 and it's the best. It's not as expensive as some of those other pills. And it's like, it kind of hangs there for a second. And by the end of it, it's like, yeah, maybe it would work for me because, you know, what sounds totally good is that you can just take a magic pill and lose weight. Yeah. You don't have to eat different. You don't have to exercise different. It just works. And there's millions and millions and millions of dollars that are being spent. When in reality, about 70 to 80% of our getting able to lose weight is controlling what we eat and then be getting active. I don't want to hear that because that takes time. Give me the pill that in 30 days is going to deal with this. Okay, so we believe it. We hear the testimony. And it's a little bit funny, unless, you know, if you've ever tried Andro 400, please, I'm not picking on you. I'm right there with you. It's like, I'd like to. I don't want to spend $60 a month to, you know, not have any results happen. If I want to do that, I'd continue my gym membership. You know, that sort of thing. But there's something that happens when we hear people share what they're saying. And this, when I'm talking about rehearsing God's goodness, I'm not saying all the bad things that have happened in my life never mattered at all. No, actually, all the bad things that have happened in my life, I probably have a story of God resurrecting something out of it. You can wrestle, well, was God good when this bad thing happened? Yeah, God is always good. Bad stuff happens because we live in a world that is filled with sin and wrong. The consequences of sin and wrong, of 10,000 years of people doing stuff that was wrong, ends up bumping into people that they did nothing to deserve it. Nothing. And so we think, God, why didn't you stop this? It's because the natural consequence of people being in charge of this planet has caused sin to come down and just leave a devastation in its wake. The goodness is that God himself becomes the answer to engage us so that even when we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't need to be afraid because he's with us. So Romans chapter 10, verse 17, where do we get our faith? We get faith. Faith comes from hearing through the word of Christ. If we want to have our faith grow, we need to be repeating. We need to be rehearsing. We need to be revisiting God's goodness. We need to be sharing this. We want our faith to be built. We put ourselves in situations where we can hear the scriptures. Maybe it's we're listening to the Bible on our Hillside app. Maybe it has to do with you're listening to different podcasts in different times and places. But we're listening and we're hearing other people's stories. You can learn and have your faith discouraged by listening to people who are very negative. You can be torn down and have the opposite effect the more you're around negative people. If the people in your life are very negative, find new people to hang out with. You get this? Because we will become like the people around us. Have faith. Our faith in God is built as we hear about who he is and what he's done. Over and over again, as you look through the Old Testament, we see stories. We see a story about David and Goliath. What's so big about David and Goliath? Well, Goliath was 9 feet 9 inches tall. He was the fiercest warrior, he was a half human, half demon spawn, actually a Nephilim. And he was the most powerful warrior in all of Philistine. And then there's this runt of a guy named David who's not even reached his 18th birthday, who is thought so little of in his family that he's in charge of the sheep. They always put the people who were the least regarded in charge of the sheep. If you have to ask why, go spend time with sheep. Okay? So David is there and he comes to visit his brothers and he hears Goliath yelling. And David says, you know, who's this guy to talk about my God this way? And he goes to the king and says, hey, king, how about I go take out the giant for you? And they send this 17-ish kid out to go fight this half-demon spawned giant named Goliath. And what happens? Goliath comes out there and says, I'm going to feed you to the birds. And David says, au contraire, mein frère, what's going to happen is I'm coming at you, not with a sword or a spear, but in the power of the name of God. And today I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And you thought Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor talk smack to each other. Okay? So he goes out there and he takes a slingshot and he hits Goliath in the only place in his whole body where there's not armor, right between the eyes. Homeboy falls to the ground. The noise he makes, everybody, all the Philistines have been, yay, Goliath's down. And David goes over, picks up his sword, which weighed probably 75 pounds. And he hefts it and hacks off his head. And he holds it up and says, who's your daddy? You know, he's shaking. Look at this. And then he yells at the Israelites, where we're going? Let's go. And the Israelites, who'd been hiding in caves, go running out and they attack. The whole thing is, isn't David great? It's like, no, the whole point of every story in the Old Testament is God is a deliverer. And he looks for people who are going to take him at his word. David didn't go out there and say, yeah, Goliath, I'm bad. I've taken out bears. I've taken out lions. He says, I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord God, who's going to give you into my hand. It's not because I'm skilled with the slingshot. It's because God is going to hand you over. He's going to use today to be an object lesson to you. A very poignant object lesson to you. Over and over again, Daniel in the lion's den, the three guys in the furnace, Joseph in Pharaoh's court, moving forward, Jesus walking on water, Jesus healing the sick, raising the dead, Jesus feeding the 5,000. All these things are to show this is what happens when people fully rely upon God. And as Americans in our culture, we make these people into heroes of the Bible. Get your action figures at the Christian bookstore. You can go in there and get an action figure of David and Goliath and act it out. I don't know if the Goliath's head will come off, but that'd be cool. But you can get these action figures. But it misses the point because those guys weren't great because they were great. Those guys and women were great because they listened to and relied upon God. And when they're telling the stories over and over again, it's not just rehearsing, wasn't David tough? Wasn't he great with the slingshot? It was, look what God can do. He can use that which is inconsequential to do great things in his name. Hebrews chapter 11 is one of my favorite chapters in the book of Hebrews, because it goes through and it says by faith, and it lists what these people did over and over and over again. It's referred to as the cloud of witnesses chapter, where we get to see the people who are writing Hebrews at some point say, I could go on because God has shown himself to be great through all of these people. He says, but I'm going to stop. But Hebrews chapter 11 says this: without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. For us, to put our faith in God is not a blind faith. It's not a leap of faith. It's putting trust in a sure foundation, in a God who has proven himself. And God is going to work in and through the faith that you have to cause that to be like a candle that's lit, lighting other candles. It may be that, you know, it seems that our world is covered in darkness. Every little bit of candlelight that is lit is another thing that repels the darkness. One candle burning repels darkness. Tim talked about dealing with stuff in your head. I'm with you. What are you thinking about? Pain, suffering, the thing. I can remember when my anxiety got the worst, and I don't say my anxiety like I own it, but it was there, and I might as well pretend, because no amount of saying I'm victorious in Christ helped me to deal with this very real thing. And I was convicted because what I was thinking about was about my anxiety. I was thinking about the anxious responses I would have. I was thinking about the things I was afraid of, worrying about all sorts of different stuff. And I can remember praying, now, Lord, will you please deal with this? And he says, will you please deal with what you're thinking about? Well, how about you go first? You know, help hook me up. And I was like, what is this supposed to be? So Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes to the church at Philippi while he's in jail. And he's saying, here's a key for learning how to not be anxious about anything. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God which guards your heart and mind will be with you beyond circumstance. 4:8. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Many of the problems that we're having are because we're thinking about the wrong things. We're thinking about the negative. We're thinking about the and I'm not saying that those things that are negative aren't real, but they're not the final say. They might be facts, but they're not God's truth. The fact was, David stood no chance going to fight a seasoned warrior with a slingshot. The truth is, he believed he was empowered by God and he went out there and God won a mighty victory. There are facts that we have latched to hold on to. And God says, I don't want you to hold on to those facts as much as I want you to hold on to my truth. I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Think on this. What story am I rehearsing? Am I thinking on the goodness of God? Am I thinking on the things that God wants to transform? Am I thinking on the areas where he's already been in my, you know, working on my behalf? The more I dwell upon those things, I will see a transformation happen with me, with you, with us. And so coming back to me, it's like as I have begun to wrestle through the area, what am I giving myself to think about? I've seen a significant change in how I see the world and how I am addressing things. The other day, I realized it had been a long time since Louis had been around. When I said something to my wife, she said, I haven't heard that from you in a long time. And I'm thinking on one hand, that's really sad. And on the other hand, it's like, but I'm not dead yet, so I'm doing good. We can have been in a rut for so long. It's never too late to get out of that rut. Well, I've wasted so much time. Are you going to waste some more? Belly aching about it? Or are you going to get up out of that rut and start thinking about that which is good, which is right, which is noble, which is pure, which is excellent? There's a transformation that happens. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So, what are we going to do with this? We are going to give opportunity for people to share briefly, 15 to 30 seconds, on something God has done in you, for you, and your family. This isn't the time to talk about, I know a guy who once saw someone on TV who saw this really cool thing happen in Nepal. It's like, that's great. But the testimony, that where the power of it is, it comes with the relationship as it happens with you and the lives of the people who you love. Does that make sense? Yes? So who can do this? I'm actually opening this up to anyone who is here today. Ooh.
I've been thinking about this a lot, actually, because I feel like God has been moving in my life so much, intensely over the last couple of months. But one of the things that came to mind when Tim was talking and then again when you were talking is just this new understanding of who I am in Christ as a new creation, and that all of my flesh ultimately boils down to unbelief. And when I'm not believing who I am in Christ, and I picture this line, and the old me and all my insecurity and my fear and all of these things that I tend to continue to live in, even though he has said, that is not you anymore. Right. And when Tim was talking about how hard it is sometimes to get over to the new, I was thinking it's when we're trying to do that instead of allowing God to carry us. He's carrying us over. Like, we don't need to. It's not about our effort. Right. It's grace. That's and good. It's faith. And just as a testimony of this, I've been learning to live without fear. And so thinking about what can I do today that I yesterday would have been afraid to do in my flesh. And the other day it came to mind, ask Tony Slonim, who's the CEO of Renown, probably one of the most influential and powerful people in our community, to mentor you. And I was like, no, like, I'd be afraid to do that. And I was like, Danae, do it. So I emailed him. And I'm meeting with Tony now once a month to be mentored. And I just want to encourage you guys, like, we are new. And the potential and what God wants to see in our life is the sky's the limit.
Nice.
Earlier this week, I guess I was struggling trying to help some family members out, mostly my parents, and it's been a real struggle. And out of the blue, my younger brother, who's not a believer, calls me up and says, hey, I'm on the way to work, and I'm driving in the truck, and I'm thinking I need to call you to talk you off the edge. Are you doing okay? And he starts giving me words of encouragement. And so I ended up sending him a text that, you know, how God used you to touch me. At coming back from lunch, I'm reading a book, and I won't go into everything about it, but in the book, the author is dropped off in a dark neighborhood. The people he's supposed to meet are not there. He wanders down to the gas station, and the guy that dropped him off shows up and picks him up. And he said, you know, why are you here? He goes, God told me you were in trouble. And so I came back to look for you, and he found him. And it made me really think, and I started laughing in the car, that God cared enough about me to send my brother to call me. And God cared enough about, it was Ron Mell who wrote the book, cared enough about Ron to send another guy to go pick him up. And so I started laughing in the car. And about 30 seconds out loud, thinking how much God cares.
Nice.
So I've got to finish the bottom page of that book. And the next line that says, Ron says, I started laughing. And it's amazing that God cares enough to send people to us.
Nice.
So the one thing that you brought up for me was you said about rehearsing. And it's funny whether or not you like the social media nonsense or not. But Facebook reminded me that my son 3 years ago got off oxygen. And I was like, oh, yeah. So it's like, it's one of those things that you see Matthias running around and he seems like a pretty normal kid. And to remember that, you know, he was born not breathing. And remembering all the stuff that went through that. And remembering what, you know, what the church and the family and what we did. And remembering most of all that through that, we didn't know what was going to happen. But we knew that God had it, and we were powerless. But we sat there and, you know, ended up being in the hospital for a couple months, but just sitting there going, you know, if it's going to happen, it's because God's here.
Nice.
And it's good. It's cool to see where he's at now.
Nice. Anybody else?
I was just thinking about that, about family, the family tree. And I remember when Charlie and I were first married, things went pretty good. And then about 15 years into it, or 12 years into it, I was tired of being held up at night as night manager. So we decided to change our lives. And when I look back at that time, we had a combination of the Voits, the Weimers, the Madrids, all kinds of people. And then we were offered to go into business with Charlie's dad. And I thought, man, this is really the top of the world. And within, I don't know, 3 months of that time, I was in front of the church accepting the Lord. And I really appreciate the fact that we are in the family of Jesus, in that tree. We could be Voits, we could be all kinds of things, but this is the tree that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the reminder.
I had an opportunity. Walt said, I know you have an aversion to going through one of the cities down 395. But he said that I've been on the internet and I found a guy who has some metal cabinetry to hold little parts and tools that I'm really interested in getting one more part to organize the garage. So I said, hey, I'm free. I can go anywhere I want, anytime I want, as long as Jesus doesn't say no, I'm good. So I want to go on that trip with you. And so we did. We went on that trip, and it turns out that we didn't end up having to go to that town through that particular place. But we went to Miwok Village. Do you know where it is?
Yep.
Okay. So Miwok Village is kind of in the middle of nowhere, up near Strawberry Lake, and
there was a bar that served sandwiches.
Yes, so we got a horrible sandwich, and we had lunch together, and we listened to a book on the way up, but we turned it off part way. We got into those mountains. The they must be 60 times the height of this building, huge pieces of granite. The most beautiful, that right now, because of all the rain, the grass and the sage and the greenery on all of the mountains, this huge granite rock that goes, just seems like it goes up forever. Trees that are struggling, they barely could get their little feet into the rocks there, and they were growing, and they were green. So it was this beautiful, beautiful scenery, and it got very quiet in the car, and we both just thought, what a wonder to think that God made this amazingly beautiful world for us. And I said, I am so glad that I'm not afraid and that I can press through those concerns that I've had earlier and can just enjoy the beauty that God's created. Cool. So it was wonderful to enter the rest.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Thanks for asking, Louie. Yeah, it was probably June 11th. We went to dinner with Brett and Tammy, who are heading out this week to Europe for another round. We are praying for you. My sons have had probably one of the greatest gifts in their life of being able to marry their daughters, Joelle and Grace. Answers to huge prayer. So we're getting together for dinner. Ronnie was there with his special friend. Yes, and his special friend's dad, who's Daniel Brown. And while we were there, we got on the subject of Europe. And for me, we are personally and also as a church family, we've had a long-standing relationship with the Foursquare Church in Germany. Over the years, many, if not all, of the guys who I was closest to have either stopped pastoring, left the ministry, and or it's just there's not a whole lot of people that I would go and interact with. There's a couple, but I've been waiting for an invitation. And when I was talking to Daniel about it, he says, why would you wait for an invitation? If I waited for an invitation, I would never go anywhere. Just invite yourself. And so I went home and I thought about that. And I said, I'm not there yet. My faith is growing, but I'm not quite in the spot where I call up and say, hey, let me be a blessing to you. That type of a thing. But I said, Lord, if you know the desires of my heart, I would love to see that relationship in Germany rekindled. The next day, I got a phone call out of the blue from my friend Eddie, who used to pastor our sister church, Treffpunkt-Leben. He's now not pastoring, but he's on the church staff of a church called Hope City Church, and he works for a company called Life Ray. And he said, I just needed to hear your voice because everyone here in Germany is asleep. I needed to ask you a pastor question. And so we got into a conversation, and it was like God saying, I've not forgotten this call for this country and for this people group. And don't think it's just going to look one way. I'm thinking that is so neat. And then the next day I get another contact from someone else in a different part of Germany, in East Germany. And they want to get together and talk. I'm thinking two in one day is pretty phenomenal. And for me, it's a reminder, God's promises never go out without them coming back. And it might not happen in the time frame or look the way we think it should, but it will come about. I think it's funny you mentioned laughing. When Sarah found out in 1 year this 90-year-old woman was going to have a baby, what did she do? Ha, ha, ha. She said to her husband, the way of women has gone from me. I am not going to have a kid. It's too late. And it's like, oh, just wait. And a year later, Isaac, which means he laughed. So anybody else before we wrap up? Pray for us.
Heavenly Father, thank you that something good is going to happen. Something good is in store for each one of us because we're your kid. And you have a storehouse of blessings and goodness that you want to pour out and lavish on each one of us. Lord, we come before you openly, humbly, and say, yes, Lord, we want all that you have for us. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord, that it would plant in our hearts and grow faith. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bless each one here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us at web@hillside4.org.